Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, get ready, because we're jumping into a pile of source material today that outlines this mystery, and it gets pretty twisted.
Yeah, it really does. It starts with something almost mundane, right? Spotting some weird metal from a plane.
Exactly. And then, bam, it spirals out across decades, pulling in old secrets, murder, kidnapping. It's a lot.
We're looking at excerpts from a mystery book, and like you said, it kicks off near South Lake Tahoe. What seems like just spotting potential wreckage turns into this whole tangle involving a Cold War conspiracy, a present-day murder, a kidnapping, and some seriously dangerous cargo.
So our mission here is to unpack all these layers. We want to understand the key characters, figure out what's driving them, and, you know, try to pull out the most important things to take away from this really intricate story the author's weaving.
Let's dig in and see what these pages tell us.
Okay, so right at the center of it all is our protagonist, Logan. What do we learn about this guy from the sources?
Well, on the surface, Logan's a flight instructor. But you pretty quickly realize that's, like, not the whole story. Not even close.
Right. He's presented as being pretty down on his luck.
Yeah, definitely. He's underemployed. Sounds like he's struggling with money, living in this converted garage. Which is interesting because it's in a wealthy part of California, so there's a contrast there.
And that lack of work isn't just random, is it? We find out he used to be some kind of covert operator for the government.
Exactly. A past he's legally gagged from talking about, which is a huge tell. And that background, well, it's crucial. It means he has this very specific, pretty intense skill set, right? Combat, tracking, he can read people.
Skills you don't usually need for flight instruction.
Not typically, no. But the sources also make it clear this past left him with significant trauma and a deep-seated distrust of people, especially people who seem overly friendly. That comes up early.
And physically. We get a couple of details. He's getting older, approaching 50, and there's this mention of a banged up knee.
Yeah, the knee pops up a few times. Maybe a reminder of his past or just, you know, wear and tear. And then there's his personal life, which is, whoa.
Yeah, talk about complicated. He's expecting his first child.
Which is huge news. But it's with Savannah, his ex-wife. They've been divorced for more than 6 years.
That is quite the setup.
It really is. The writing suggests this, like, really complex dynamic. You feel there's still love there, maybe rekindled by the pregnancy, but also there's definite resentment lingering from the divorce.
And the whole reason they're even in Tahoe when the story starts is supposedly to get remarried.
Right. Talk about adding pressure to an already intense situation.
So you've got this incredibly skilled but also deeply scarred guy. He's broke, trying to navigate this super complex relationship reboot, all before the main plot even kicks off.
And there are these little mentions of his internal life, too, right? Like he's trying to grapple with Buddhist philosophy.
Yeah, which seems to clash pretty hard with his training and instincts. He apparently mentions having removed some people from the planet in his past.
So there's this constant tension between the peace he might be seeking and the violence he's capable of. That seems like a core part of him.
Okay, let's talk about the trigger. The thing that starts it all. Logan just flying his plane, right? His Cessna 172.
Yep, the ruptured duck, he calls it. Cute name.
Huh, yeah. So he's up near South Lake Tahoe, just a regular flight, supposedly.
Flying over this mountainous area between Mount San Carlos and Chalmers Peak, there's a spot mentioned called Voodoo Ridge.
And he sees something down there. Something catches his eye.
Yeah, twisted metal, pieces of it. Looks like, well, looks like a plane crash.
And given who he is, both a pilot and whatever he used to be, he can't just ignore that.
Nope. So when he lands at the South Lake Tahoe Airport, he mentions it. Casually, it seems, to the ramp attendant, a guy named Chad Lovejoy.
Just sort of an offhand comment. Hey, saw something weird up there.
Pretty much. But yeah. That little comment, that's the spark.
And the airport itself isn't just where he lands. We meet some local characters there too, don't we?
We do. There's Marlene, the receptionist at Summit Aviation Services. Seems friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And her boss, Gordon Priest, who comes across as pretty gruff, short-tempered, maybe.
And right away, Logan's radar goes up with Marlene, doesn't it? His distrust thing.
Yeah, he contrasts her, like, almost too friendly manner with someone he sees as genuinely nice, his landlady, Mrs. Schmilowitz. So he's constantly evaluating people. Are they nice, or is it an act?
He bumps into Chad again later, gives him a tip, mentions the wreckage again. Still seems minor.
It does. But it keeps that thread alive.
Yep.
Meanwhile, we get a picture of where he and Savannah are staying. This B&B Tranquility House.
Right by the Cavitches. Johnny and Gwen. And they have a son, Preston.
And Logan has this weird, unsettling run-in with Preston.
Yeah.
Involving Savannah's stuff.
Right. That immediately puts Preston on Logan's list of people to watch. He just seems off. Creepy, I think, is the word used.
So Logan does the official thing. He calls the sheriff's department about the possible crash site.
And this gets the ball rolling officially. Deputy Matt Streeter takes the report.
Streeter seems like a decent guy. He arranges to go check out the site.
Logan tags along with another deputy. Deputy Wu. And the description of getting there really emphasizes how remote it is. Rough roads, hard to access.
Definitely. And they find it. The wreckage is real. It's a twin-engine plane, a Model 18 Beechcraft. And it's clearly been there a long, long time. Decades. Just hidden below Voodoo Ridge.
But finding the old plane isn't the main event here, is it? This is where things take a really dark turn.
Yeah, two major discoveries right there at the site. Absolutely crucial.
First, tragically, they find Chad Lovejoy, the ramp attendant Logan talked to.
Right there at the crash site. And he's been murdered. Shot multiple times.
Logan's reaction is immediate, right? His old training just clicks on.
Instantly. He sees Chad, sees the plane, and his gut tells him Chad was killed because of something in that plane. He makes the connection right away.
And what do they find inside the plane?
An empty wooden crate. It's open. It was padded with old newspaper, but whatever was inside, it's gone.
But the crate itself is evidence. Something valuable or important was here.
Definitely. And they also find skeletal remains in the cockpit. The pilot, presumably from the original crash decades ago, no ID, plus a gun nearby with the serial number filed off. This is way more than just an old forgotten accident. It's tied to a very fresh murder.
And while all this is unfolding up on the mountain with law enforcement, Logan's personal world completely collapses.
Yeah, just devastating timing. Remember, the whole point of this trip was him and Savannah getting remarried, trying for a fresh start.
Even with Savannah kind of pushing him, telling him he needs to grow up, stop acting like he's still 25 and in the thick of whatever he used to do.
Right. But he gets back to their bungalow at the B&B.
And the door's cracked open.
And Savannah's not there. She's just gone. It's his worst nightmare happening right now.
Followed almost immediately by that phone call.
Yeah. A guy. Australian accent. Calls himself Crocodile Dundee, which is just bizarrely specific.
And terrifying. What's the demand?
Simple. Brutal. I have Savannah. You have an airplane. You're going to deliver a package for me.
Wow. So Logan is instantly thrown into this impossible situation.
His focus shifts completely. Forget the official investigation up the mountain. His mission is now one thing. Get Savannah back. And the source mentions his internal thought. He decides right then he will find her and he will kill the man who took her. His operative side takes over.
Okay, so the cops are investigating Chad's murder, but Logan's on his own track now, driven by Savannah's disappearance.
Totally. He's trying to piece things together fast. He thinks about Preston Cavage, right? The creepy B&B kid.
Yeah, does that go anywhere?
Deputy Streeter shoots it down pretty quick. Says Preston's on an ankle monitor, history of petty stuff only. Doesn't fit the profile for murder and kidnapping, Streeter thinks.
So Logan has to look elsewhere. He hits the library.
Yeah, hoping old newspapers might have something about the crash itself. He meets a helpful librarian, Constance.
And does she find anything?
She finds an article from October 1956. Mentions a possible plane crash near Voodoo Ridge. The timing fits, the location fits.
Okay, that's something.
It is, but the article itself is apparently pretty vague. Not much actionable info. Confirms it happened, but no details that help Logan now.
Hmm. So, dead end, basically. Where next?
He tracks down Chad's ex-girlfriend, Cherry. She works at Nordstrom.
And does she have anything useful?
She does. This is a big piece. Cherry says Chad was spooked lately, scared of his uncle.
Gordon Priest, the gruff boss from the airport.
That's the one. And Cherry mentions Chad was worried about something involving Priest and, get this, Iranian immigrants living in the Tahoe area.
Whoa. Okay, that's unexpected. Suddenly there's this international element.
Exactly. Totally out of left field. This leads Logan to Chad's mom, Sissy. But that meeting goes sideways fast.
How so?
Her boyfriend, Russell, apparently jumps Logan, tries to stab him. Mistaken identity or something.
Seriously, this guy just keeps walking into trouble.
Right. But after Logan, you know, handles Russell, the guy gives up a name. Jethro Murtha, Chad's old cellmate. Another potential lead. Logan's just pulling at any thread he can find.
So this Jethro Murtha lead takes him away from Tahoe.
All the way to Koreatown in L.A. He finds Murtha.
And what does Murtha say? Does he know anything?
Murtha confirms it. Chad was scared of his uncle, Gordon Priest. And he confirms Priest was involved in some sketchy dealings with Iranians up in Tahoe.
Okay, so that confirms the connection Cherry made.
It does. But Mirtha doesn't know any specifics about what those dealings were. And he's shocked, apparently, to hear Chad is dead. So, confirms the link, but doesn't solve the murder or the kidnapping.
So Logan's hitting walls, but then the official investigation provides the key, right, from Deputy Streeter?
Exactly. Streeter gets a hit from the NCIC database when he runs the tail number of that old crashed Beechcraft. And this just blows the whole thing wide open, connects it to something huge and decades old.
Okay, what's the connection?
The plane wasn't just any stolen plane from 1956. It was reported stolen in October 56 from an insurance company in Omaha. Okay, fine.
Right.
But that theft was linked directly to something else happening that same month.
Which was?
A supposed burglary at the Santa Susana Field Lab, top secret place outside L.A.
Supposed burglary, meaning it wasn't real.
Exactly. The sources say it was staged. It was actually a covert CIA operation.
Get out! A CIA op involving a stolen plane in 1956. What were they doing?
Trying to secretly supply Pakistan with fissile material. You know, the raw stuff for building a nuclear bomb. This is deep Cold War stuff.
Wow. Okay. But why stage a burglary? Why not just give it to them?
Plausible deniability. They wanted it to look like the Russians stole the material. Apparently, giving Pakistan nuke capability directly would have seriously upset India. So stage a theft, blame the Soviets, sneak the material out on this stolen plane.
That is some complex spycraft.
Totally. Except it went wrong. Badly wrong. During the staged event, a guard at Santa Susana was accidentally shot and killed. Oh. And the sources hint the pilot the CIA hired, supposedly a Russian to fit the narrative, might also have been shot. Everyone who knew anything was sworn to absolute secrecy for decades.
So, wait, that empty crate Logan found in the plane wreckage near Voodoo Ridge, from a plane stolen in October 56, linked to a staged CIA theft of nuclear material from Santa Susana in October 56.
Suddenly, it's horrifyingly clear what was in that crate, isn't it? It had to be the enriched uranium, stolen decades ago, lost in a crash, and now somehow rediscovered. The past isn't dead. It's not even past.
Which brings us right back to Crocodile Dundee and his demand for Logan.
Yeah. Deliver a package for me in your airplane. Logan now understands with chilling certainty what that package must be.
It's the uranium found at the crash site after all these years.
Exactly. And Logan has to fly it. He takes off in the ruptured duck, heading for Santa Maria. He's pushing this old plane, this single-engine trainer, way beyond its limits. Through mountains, weather.
Knowing he might have weapons-grade nuclear material on board, the stress must have been unbelievable.
Unimaginable. He lands near a Radisson Hotel in Santa Maria, like instructed. Dundee's on the phone, directing him. Tells him to leave a suitcase under a car. Presumably, the uranium is in that suitcase.
But Logan doesn't do it, does he?
No. This is a turning point. He's not just some scared guy following orders. His training, his understanding of the danger. He knows this is insane. He knows how dangerous this material is.
He refuses.
He confronts Dundee over the phone, calls his bluff. It's this moment of defiance. He's not playing this game anymore.
What happens then?
He immediately calls 911, reports the nuclear material, but the response isn't exactly a hero's welcome.
Oh.
And Agent Pellegrini for the Department of Energy shows up.
Yeah.
And instead of, thanks for saving the day, Pellegrini basically starts grilling Logan about violating federal laws by transporting nuclear material without authorization.
Are you kidding me? Bureaucracy in action.
Right. Logan's just trying to save Savannah and prevent a disaster, and he's getting read the riot act about proper procedures.
So the feds have the uranium, presumably, but Logan's still missing Savannah. He heads back to Tahoe.
Yeah, his focus is entirely on finding her, and his suspicion swings back to Gordon Priest, the uncle, the Iranian connection. He notices Priest acting weirdly, meeting with this guy Reza Jalali, repeatedly visiting some specific residential street.
So Logan confronts Priest again.
He does. Directly. Priest denies everything about nukes. He admits, though, to running a side hustle smuggling old airplane parts with Iranians. Tries to pass it off as totally harmless, just vintage components.
Does Logan buy that?
Doesn't sound like it. He keeps digging. He tracks Priest to this fancy custom home, finds him there with a woman. Turns out she's Priest's wife, and she's a doctor. And the scene Logan walks in on is described as really odd, almost like they were performing some strange domestic play. Very bizarre detail. Hints that maybe Priest's life isn't just gruff airport manager and minor smuggler. There's something weirder going on.
Yeah.
But the big reveal, the unmasking, that happens back at the airport, right?
Yeah, Summit Aviation Services. Logan gets lured into a hangar by Marlene.
The friendly receptionist.
Turns out, not so friendly. It's a trap. Her husband, Dwayne, is waiting for him. And he's abusive, the sources mention.
And Dwayne spills everything, the whole story.
Lay it out. What's the confession?
He and Marlene knew Chad knew the mountains. They used him to find the crash site, thinking they could just salvage valuable old airplane parts. Easy money.
But they found more than parts.
They found the crate. The uranium. Duane realized what it might be, or at least how incredibly valuable or dangerous it was. So he killed Chad to keep it all for himself.
And Duane, he's Crocodile Dundee.
He is. He admits it. The accent, the kidnapping, the plan to use Logan and his plane to transport the uranium, it was all Duane.
Wow. It all comes together right there. The murder, the kidnapping, the motive, the weird accent.
Exactly. And then things get violent, fast. In the hangar.
Logan's cuffed, I think.
Yeah, Duane cuffs him. But Logan's still Logan. He provokes Duane, uses his head. He times it with another plane that's landing or taxiing nearby. Chaos. Duane gets too close to the riding plane and is struck and killed by the propeller. Horrifying. Marlene gets injured in the process. The pilot, Haley, sees the whole awful thing.
So Duane's dead. The immediate threat is neutralized.
Yeah. Marlene frees Logan from the cuffs. Cops swarm the place. The immediate crisis is over.
But the personal cost for Logan, It's immense, isn't it? He runs into Savannah's father, Gil Carlisle.
And that encounter is just brutal. Gil blames Logan for everything that happened to Savannah. Doesn't matter what Logan did to stop Duane.
And then Gil serves him with papers.
A restraining order. Specifically barring Logan from attending any memorial service or funeral for Savannah.
Mm.
Just unbelievably cruel, especially given Logan was trying to rebuild that life with her.
Man. So Logan is left trying to pick up the pieces. We see him trying to cope.
Yeah. The sources mentioned him going to a painting class with his landlady, Mrs. Schmilowitz. She seems like a rare point of stability for him. He's reflecting on everything, his past, those Buddhist ideas again.
Trying to find some kind of peace after all that violence and loss.
But it seems like peace isn't really an option for him. He gets attacked. Again. Outside Mrs. Schmulowitz's house.
By who this time? Someone connected to Duane or Priest?
No, this seems different. A guy named Buzz. And Buzz isn't there to hurt him exactly. He's offering Logan a job.
A job?
Yeah. Buzz talks about getting Logan back in the game doing good work. It sounds exactly like a recruitment pitch back into his old covert life.
So even when one crisis ends, his past just immediately pulls him back.
Seems that way. And, crucially, based on the excerpts we have, there's one huge lingering question.
Savannah.
Yeah. We know Duane kidnapped her. We know Logan was desperate to save her. But these sources, they don't actually tell us if he succeeded. Her ultimate fate remains unknown in this material.
That's rough. And what about Priest and Jalali? Duane was the killer and kidnapper tied to the uranium. Was Priest just smuggling parts, or was he involved deeper?
It's a bit unclear, isn't it? The sources leave that slightly ambiguous. Priest confessed to parts smuggling, denied the nukes. Was he telling the truth? Was he maybe unwittingly facilitating Duane somehow? Those threads aren't fully tied up here.
Wow. What an incredible tangled story we've unpacked from these sources. It really did go from just spotting some wreckage.
To murder, kidnapping, a decades-old CIA nuclear plot involving Pakistan, and this final violent showdown spanning 60 years almost instantly.
Yeah, we saw this struggling flight instructor, Logan, forced to confront his own secret violent past because of this chain of events. An old plane crash holding this incredibly dangerous secret.
A young man, Chad, murdered for stumbling onto it. Savannah kidnapped as leverage. It's just layer upon layer.
And the sources did a great job, I thought, of weaving Logan's personal baggage, the divorce, the baby, the past trauma, the Buddhist leanings into this huge historical Cold War plot that literally fell out of the sky.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? How much of what happens today might be driven by secrets buried decades ago? Things we walk past every day, maybe, that hold these incredible, potentially dangerous stories.
Right. And what does it actually take for those old events, those ghosts from the past, to suddenly violently collide with the present day? Makes you wonder what other secrets are still out there just waiting.